Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're doing well. It's been an exciting time of worship so far, and I'm sure we'll continue this morning. I do want to, first of all, again, thank the teams who came up here and shared this morning. Definitely coming up front and sharing in front of an intimidating bunch for coming up and sharing their heart, sharing their experience. Thank you very much. Sounds like you had a very inspiring and faith-building time. Also, I'd like to welcome those who are visiting with us. We have a number of people from different cities who are here with us here today. Too many to go through individually, but we do want to say welcome and glad that you're able to be with us here today. And we do have a number of students who are on their way here, who will be attending university. And so we will, and who are here, who are again, who have come to attend university. So next Sunday we'll introduce those who have moved here, those who are becoming going to school here, and we'll give them a very warm, loving greeting. Maybe you're not here because you're going to school. Maybe you're here because you're dropping off your son or daughter who's going to school. Again, maybe you've moved here to go to school this fall. Maybe you're visiting relatives. Maybe you're visiting friends. Or maybe you're visiting from another part of this world, another part of, where you've decided to come to church, see our city, definitely welcome. Or maybe you Googled us, as we have a number of people who at times will look us up, Google us, and find us, and then come to church. Definitely welcome here this morning. Or maybe you've come to church this morning with a question on your heart. That maybe coming to church, you're hoping that maybe this question will be answered. Well, I hope that that question will be answered. If not, maybe it'll be answered next week or the week after. But definitely want you to continue to come out and join us as we worship the God every Sunday here at Sandy Hook Community Center. The theme for the year is, of course, knowing God and making Him known. And that is what we believe as disciples, what we believe as a church, that we are all about knowing God and making God known. So for the next few months, we're actually going to do a study on the book of Ecclesiastes. And I do believe that the book of Ecclesiastes shares some helpful insights as to why we should seek to know God. Why we should seek to know God in a deeper way, and I do believe it will be very beneficial to each and every one of us here this morning. Because I do believe that no matter whatever stage we're at, whether we're a young teen who's excited about camp, whether we're a campus student, an adult, professional, a family, I do believe that God wants us to know Him. God knows you, but I do believe that God wants for you to know Him. And if you're a Christian been a Christian for 20, 25 years, or even more, I do believe that God wants you to know Him in a deeper way. You know, but as we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time we're able to share so far this morning. Father, thank you so much for each and every person here. And Father, thank you so much that you have a great plan for us, that you love us so deeply. And Father, you want us to know you in an intimate way. Father, I do pray that as we begin this study here today, Father, I pray that you open our hearts. Father, that you open our minds. That Father, we will see you in a different way. And that Father, wherever we're at in our faith, we will make decisions to know you in a more deeper way. Father, thank you so much for this time we could be here. Thank you, God, that we're able to open your word freely. Father, I pray that your spirit speak to us, encourage us, work as you will. Father, to change our hearts and help us to be able to draw closer to you. Father, we thank you. Please bless this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be opening your Bibles to 1 Kings. You know, the author, of course, of the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon. So what we're going to do this morning, we're just going to do an introduction. We're not going to go too much into it. We're just going to have an introduction about the book of Ecclesiastes, and then we will continue our study next week. But of course, the author is Solomon. The book of Ecclesiastes is an analysis of his life. An analysis of his life experience. And so he takes us on a journey through his life. And the book explains what he tried, what he tested, what he tasted, and what was the end result. You know, who was Solomon? You know, he was a man of great intellect and wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4, in verse 29, it says that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. It says that Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Jump down to verse 34. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. You know, Solomon was a pretty bright guy. He was a wise guy. But he was a man of great intellect and a man of great wisdom. Said he became the wisest man of the world. Kings, leaders from all nations came to Jerusalem to learn from Solomon. You know, on that fact alone, you know, there's a lot that we could probably learn from him as we study his life. But he was a man of great intellect and a man of great wisdom. He also was a man of great wealth and great possession. He could afford just about anything. He was the Bill Gates of today. He was the Oprah Winfrey of today. He could afford just about anything. If he wanted it, he could have it. He was also a man with great power and great influence. He was a popular man. It says that his fame spread throughout the world. That he was more popular than Justin Bieber, more popular than Rihanna, through all those different musicians. He was the most popular man. That his fame spread throughout the world. And Wayne, he's probably more popular than Michael Jackson. I know I was holding back because I was like, okay, I'm not sure how Wayne's going to take that. Okay. But he was popular. He was a man with a great reputation. You know, that's who Solomon was. You know, but what did Solomon learn in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you turn there? A man of great intellect and wisdom. A man of great wealth and possession. A man of great power and influence. A man who was popular. A man with a great reputation. What did Solomon learn throughout his life journey? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, in verse 1, says, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem." Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor, at which he toils under the sun? Generations come and generations go. But the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All the streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There's no remembrance of man of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. You know, Solomon learned some lessons. You know, verse 8, it says, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear enough in terms of fill of hearing. You know, in life, we always want more. We're always in a search for something more, that we're never truly content. Verse 5 and 6, it talks about how the sun rises and the sun sets. It hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning to its course. You know, life can be like an endless pursuit, like a merry-go-round, like being on a Ferris wheel, going round and round, yet not going anywhere. You know, over the summer holidays, you know, we went to visit family in Toronto, went to Niagara Falls, we also went to Marineland. Hadn't been there in quite some time. We were going to go to Wonderland, but we thought, you know what? Going all these different places, didn't get an opportunity to go to Wonderland, so we'll decide to go that next year. So, of course, Eric, our son, is three, who turned three over the summer, he saw the rides, and, of course, he wanted to go on these rides. And I've probably not been on a Ferris wheel in about 20 years. So I said, you know what? Karen, you take him on the Ferris wheel. So Karen took him on the Ferris wheel. And I took pictures of Karen and Eric on the Ferris wheel. But then we also went on this other ride. I did take him on a ride that went around and around in circles. And it's a thing we learned that he has no fear. You know, we went on this ride, and this ride is where you can each person can maneuver their seats. So if you want to ride low, you ride low. If you want to go high, you go high. So I started off nice and low, and Eric's like, higher. I was like, okay, let's go a little bit higher. He's like, higher. I was like, okay, let's go a little bit higher. So we kept going to as high as we could go. And then we went round and round. Then I came off, and I was like, only for Eric. I came off, and I was like, you know what? Nowadays, as you get older, sometimes you're like, wow, I can now feel the effects of this. Before, you can go on at will and go on and off and just enjoy yourself. As you get older, it's like, okay, take one slow step off the ride just to make sure everything's okay. But the ride just went around and around. You know, sometimes life can be that way in our pursuit of different things to try to fill our needs and to make us content. But Solomon gives us this result in verse 8. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. In other words, this is wearing me out. And so Solomon looked back at his life with an attitude of humility and sobriety. And he came to realize that without God, life doesn't make much sense. That without God, life doesn't make much sense. Without God, life can be an endless cycle of futility. That neither his accomplishments, his possessions, nor his wisdom could make him truly content and truly satisfied in his heart. What he chased after, what he experienced, again, proved to be an exercise in futility. And this comes from a man who had it all. This is not coming from a man who did not experience these things. This is coming from a man who had everything. Have you any thought compared to knowing God? These things are meaningless. As his goal, as he writes, that he took stock of the world as he experienced it, hoping to spare his readers from making similar mistakes, so they would not waste their time chasing after all these things in the world that without God are meaningless. You know, that is the dilemma that we face here today. You know, 3,000 years ago, Solomon talked about this. And Solomon, again, spoke of a similar dilemma, again, we face today. That we chase after pleasure. We chase after wealth, possessions, wisdom, power, popularity, success. We chase after all these things, hoping that once we get them, it's going to bring something and satisfy something in our hearts that's only meant for God to fill. And we try to fill our lives and our hearts with all these things, and all these things that have empty promises. And we can fail to realize that nothing in this world can fill the emptiness or to fill our hearts so we can be content. That nothing in this world can satisfy the deep longing in our hearts that is meant for God alone. That our restless hearts search for God. But we search for so many other things to try to fill that void, which God, who designed us, created us with a heart to seek Him and to know Him. You know, Solomon affirms that, he affirms the value of knowledge, the value of relationships, the value of work, pleasure, but all in its proper order and proper place. That all of these things are temporal. All these things are temporary and must be seen in light of eternity. You know, what would Solomon say to us this morning? You know, if you're searching for fulfillment and meaning and pursuing all these things, he'd say, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. That true meaning is found in God alone. Because he discovered that life without God is a long, fruitless search for enjoyment, meaning, and fulfillment. If we're spending all of our time working and working so that we can achieve, whether it be advancement, so that we can purchase more stuff, he would tell us that without God, there's no lasting reward or benefit in hard work. Because there's a thing called death. And the certainty of death makes all human achievement futile. Solomon wants people to understand that success, prosperity, they don't last long. That all human accomplishments will one day disappear. You know, I'm in no way saying that we should not strive to be the best that we can be. If we go to school, we should strive to be the best students. If we work, we should strive to be the best employment, the best employee. Whatever we do, we should do it. But we need to have God at the center of everything. Because all these things, when all said and done, in light of eternity, when it comes to God, they're all meaningless. You know, if we're trying to gain all the wisdom of the world, looking for direction from human wisdom is limited. It does not have all the answers. And because life is short, we need wisdom that is greater than what the world can offer. In order to understand life, and maybe that's why you've come here this morning, to understand something about life. That to understand life and how it works, we need the wisdom that can only be found through God's word to us. That we listen to him, if we listen to what Solomon has to say to us through Ecclesiastes, I do believe we can spare ourselves from wasting our time chasing after fruitless endeavors, and we can center our lives on God. You know, what does Solomon want us to do? I do believe that wherever we're at, he'd want us to stop. Stop whatever we're doing and to think about where our life is going. To analyze, why are we doing the things that we're doing? And what is it we're hoping to accomplish? Want us to rethink our purpose and our direction. Maybe to be honest with ourselves. Just as Solomon was honest with himself. And ask yourself, is the chase after all the things I'm chasing after, is it bringing me the contentment that I'm looking for? I do believe, like Solomon, all of us this morning are on a journey. Like Solomon, the life experience of many is empty, futile, hollow, and disappointing. But fortunately, we can learn from Solomon without investing what little time we have on different endeavors that did not bring the intended results. But we can learn from him, and we can focus our hearts and our attention on God. And allow God to fill our lives and fill our hearts and use us as open vessels to do what he wants us to do. You know, I do believe that as we study the book of Ecclesiastes, God's word will speak to us in many different ways. And I do believe it's a book that will meet us, again, whatever stage we're at in our faith, it can work to be able to help our faith grow, solidify our faith. But all comes from us having the right perspective. That we can chase after all these things. But as Solomon realized, without God, all things are meaningless. And I do hope that as we journey and we examine the life of Solomon, and as we, with humility and sobriety, examine our own hearts, that we too will be able to find God, grow deeper in a relationship with God, as we search and as we journey in knowing God. I really hope that this week you have a great week. If you're a student, all the best on your school year. I hope you can get settled and look forward to seeing you again next week here for Sunday Church. Amen.